as I was striking the bowl, you know, do you ever wonder, like, where does some thought come from? You know, it just is all of a sudden pops in, and I was aware as I did three, it does five sounds, and then about three, I thought, oh, these are really nicely spaced together and kind of the same volume. And then I thought, oh, how am I going to be able to do it again? And so then the random thought that came in was about Tim Lincecum and his giant game this week of the perfect game and no hits. And like every ball that he threw, I wonder if he went through this, oh my God, is this going to be the one that somebody makes a home run? And so anyway, thank goodness there's only five. So the continuation is of the Four Noble Truths. And this is actually, today will be about the fourth, so the last one. And again, just to kind of do a recap, that the Four Truths, which Shakyamuni Buddha kind of recognized after his enlightenment, and then through the course of his life, kept teaching in different ways and to different populations in a way, so that some people might just hear it and blow it off, and other people might hear it and get stuck in one part of it. But I think it's really important to realize it's the whole package. It isn't just the fact that there is suffering. It isn't just the fact that there is a cause for our suffering, you know, that we're greedy, that we want something, that we want it to be more of or different than or not happening or happening. And that if we can recognize those causes, that there is a path to having some relief from the suffering that is caused. So today's talk is about that last one, the fact that there is a path to having the relief of suffering. And again, you know, as I was thinking about it during the past week, and then as I was kind of looking at the internet last night, and I was very struck with that it is my experience that, I mean, we all have suffering in our lives. We don't get what we want, or we get something that we don't want, and or the bell sounds too loud, or the home run gets hit, or something that we would rather not happen. And yet, in the overall picture, that we can believe that we really do get and can find and can practice what we really need underneath. You know, it's like there are not two levels of us, but if sometimes we kind of get stuck in our head and think, oh, this is what I need. My middle son's car was stolen. I may have mentioned that last week. And so his first reaction was, I don't have any money. How am I going to get another car? The insurance will pay for some of it, but, you know, what kind of car can you get for that much money? And so in just sitting with it and dealing with it and seeing the overall flow, what happened was that a friend of mine donated his car, and it was it's a 1990 Honda, but it has 93,000 miles on it, which is really low for Hondas and 24 years old. And you know, it had been sitting, so it was kind of it was dirty and dusty, and you know, I first looked at it, thought, oh, you know, and then you know, through the process, the car has just kind of come alive. You know, it's nice and shiny. It's cleaned up well. The engine, there was no big problems with it. It just kind of really unfolded. And then John called, said the insurance company is going to give him twice what he thought he was going to get. You know, so it's like, it's really, we should not take, okay, this is it, and this is bad, or this is wrong, or this shouldn't be happening. But to be able to kind of breathe and trust that there's a larger picture, And it's a larger picture that we have to be involved in. It isn't something that's just going to passively happen to us. And I think that's a part of the fourth, when they say there is a path, that we need to be actively engaged in it. And for instance, when we do Zazen, you know, we make up the time and we come here and we work with our mind, trying to either understand it or quiet it or wake it up, or you know, but it's like in that intention that okay, I'm not going with the idea of getting enlightenment, but I'm going with the idea that with the belief or really the experience that something positive will come out of it, and something that really will help us feel more alive, more awake, and more in contact with our world and the people and the things and the suffering that goes on in our world. So when we see that it is in fact working, that we do have something that comes out of it, it's like, I don't know, have you ever been sick and you know you're just feeling really bad, and then you know whatever, you take the medicine or you get a good night's sleep or whatever needs to happen, and then the next day you wake up and it's like, ah, I feel good, you know, and it's just like that's what happens. You know, it's like these little moments of, oh yeah, life is happening the way it really is supposed to happen. And it was because when I was physically sick, I did something or I didn't do something else, or so there was an engagement on this person's part. And a secondary idea to that is that, again, it's not just me that's making it happen. It's not just you that, okay, I'm going to go to bed and get a good night's sleep. It comes to you from the experience, from maybe your mom saying, you know, you don't feel good, go to bed, take a nap, and get some sleep, or take this medicine, or, you know, don't do this. And it came from mom, and then it came from society, and it came from every place. And so it isn't just us that's making this happen. It's larger than us, and yet it's kind of through us that it begins to come about. So the Eightfold Path, and I'm just going to list the Eightfold, the eight aspects. Not going to necessarily go into it because I don't know. I'm just not going to go into it. So, visa, right view, right intention, right speech, and right action. And then LEMC. I don't know. Lucky strike means fine tobacco. L is livelihood, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. And concentration is really the practice of Zazen, to really sit, focus, be more fully aware of what it is that's happening. So in this path, in these eightfold things, and they're not progressive, so it isn't like, you know, you start out with one and you progress. They really intermingle, and oftentimes you may have seen, actually there's a picture of it, the Dharma wheel, but it's oftentimes seen in different Buddhist traditions. And it's like that each one comes together, you know, and supports the other. So if one of these was missing, it would not look like this. It would, you know, be a little more lopsided. So each of those, right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration, they're all important. And within us, there is somewhere, somehow, the ability to make change once we begin to see it. And again, that kind of goes back to one of the values that I find in doing Zazen, is that I have a quieter time, and so I can begin to see, oh, this is my reaction, or this is what I'm doing. You know, I'm worrying about this, or I'm planning that, or I'm doing something, and I can more clearly see it And then, you know, say, okay, come back, look at the tatami mat, you know, just breathe and just be right here. And then, you know, lickety split, I'm off doing something else in, you know, my mental life. But we can change. And probably like anything, the more we practice it, the better we get, you know. I mean, if you ride a bike once every 6 years, you're not going to get very good. If you keep on doing it, then you're going to be a pretty good bike rider after a little bit of time. I always think it's fun to watch, you know, the two of you have little kids and watch them learning how to ride a bike. I don't know if they've been there yet, but it's like, you know, hold on, Daddy, don't let go, you know. And then wobbly, wobbly, and then, you know, and then I remember one of my sons said, I did it! You know, and just that joy. And didn't do it because he could do it, but because he practiced and he trusted and he just did it. So the second thing is that the path needs to be cultivated. It comes from our experience. It isn't these Eightfold Path is not, these are not laws or you know, it's not the Ten Commandments or this is how you should behave, but it's kind of the natural unfolding of that deeper inner self that's part of the universe, and that we it does happen, and we can practice it, and we can work on it, and each one kind of brings up a different behavior that is, you know, kind of focused on. So like, one of the things that I realized, and I don't know which one this would fall under, I don't know, I'll have to think about that, but is how I operate off of shoulds so much of the time. You know, like, I should ring the bell at this time, or I should start dinner at this time, or I should. And they're not even things I'm particularly aware of. So in that awareness, it's like, oh, okay, well, I don't have to operate from a should. You know, if dinner is 2 hours later, it's my husband or myself, he can go get a dinner if he's starving to death. But we create external rules that we try to follow, and then we fail, and then we get upset and worried and tense, and we suffer. So it's just the idea that we just keep working on it. We just keep working on it. And working on it in a gentle way. I think, again, that's really, really important, not to be judgmental about ourselves, but just to... I would oftentimes tell clients, you know, the fact that you're aware of something is great. I mean, it may hurt like hell, but if you're not aware of it, you're not going to do anything different. So, and then when we see that our lives really do are easier to live, that they don't have to have the chaos and the drama, the tension in it, that we can begin to recognize signs that's beginning to say, oh, you know, you're getting there, that we can begin to see those little things and begin to make changes earlier in the cycle of completing them or ending them, or whatever. And the practice of Zazen really is the unification of our body and mind with our spirit. And again, I say our, but it's not just mine and not just yours, it's ours. But, you know, sometimes we can be aware that our knees hurt or our back hurts or we're falling asleep. Sometimes we're aware of some more important emotional insight that we might have, or a spiritual insight. But we don't get trapped in having to react to that internal should or that internal message that says this is the way it's supposed to be. And if we can reduce that, then we are less stressed and we are less reactive to what's going on. And, you know, again, for the Mahayana, the Rinzai, the Soto practice, Zazen is a practice that leads us to that. Not all Buddhist traditions practice Zazen, but they each have their way of arriving at that sense of joy and liberation and feeling of choice about things. So My youngest son is always a free spirit, and I always thought we could just dampen that spirit down a little bit, you know. And so he went through life, he's now 43, he went through life, the first part of his life, in a rather hard way, you know, kind of pounding into things and rebelling and reacting and being stressed. And he has recently, well, not recently, for a number of years now, he's been involved in AA, the 12-step Alcoholics Anonymous. And he was saying to me the other day, he says, you know, I just know now that I don't have to get stuck in that loop. You know, if, you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to, you're there. He's in a job that, before, he was in a job he didn't particularly like. But, you know, he didn't have to say, oh, this is the only thing I can do, you know, and I can't do anything else. I don't have any other option. But he also didn't say, I got to change it. I got to do something right now. But just, you know, it is what it is right now. And, you know, don't make it worse by doing something stupid. So his practice is following the AA tradition. And meditation is part of their practice, but I don't know that he does that or he doesn't do that or what that really means. But so the overall thing is just try it on. You know, try on the right view, right intention, right speech, right action, livelihood, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and have it emerge from the practice of Zazen. That's the ground. That's the muddy waters. That's the waters that get clear. That's where it really, in this practice, in this tradition, that's where it starts. So have a good week out there practicing, enjoying hopefully a 3-day weekend for those others of you who work, like the three of you and not me. Be safe, whatever it is you do. And life will unfold the way it's supposed to. On the way up here, I was telling Kaz, there was a big white van behind me that looked like it was a party van, you know, one of those that carry party supplies. And I thought, oh, somebody's going to have a party, going to get married, whatever. And then just as I'm getting to Hakone, the ambulance kind of pulled out right in front of me and, you know, made a left-hand turn up into the houses. And I thought, wow, you know, a party and somebody's got an emergency. You know. But isn't that life? You know, so enjoy whatever it is.